Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you personally for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files by title. You'll also find 30-minute Bible videos on a number of various subjects, and you will also find a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. We also have some information about us out there. At the end of this service, we'll give you the meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible, an open mind, open it up, study God's Word with us, and worship with us, and let us show you need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. We have been asking Bible questions and giving you Bible answers for those questions. We continue with the questions this morning. Our question today is, can a child of God fall from grace? Now, this is a very good question, and one that you would get various answers of if you would ask it in the denominational world. Now, we want to begin, like we do every week, in reading some passages. We first want to read from Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. Galatians 5 and verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Our next passage that we would like to read is from 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you shall fall from your own steadfastness and being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And one other passage in Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. 2 Peter 2, verse 20. For if, after we've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. And then one other passage in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, one of the most popular doctrines that is in the religious world today is a doctrine called eternal security. It has other names, once saved, always saved, and the perseverance of saints, that comes directly from the Calvinistic theology of John Calvin. This particular doctrine says that once one has entered a relationship with Jesus Christ, and once they have accepted Him as their personal Savior and ask them to come into their heart, the Lord to come into their heart and be their Savior, that clinches their eternal security. That now that they have it, they are no longer are they in danger of losing it, and it's theirs forever. Well, that's comforting. But the question you and I want to raise is it biblical? Is that what the Scripture teaches? Now, of course, people who have these types of positions have passages that they think bolster their conclusion. And I want to read just one of them this morning. In John chapter 10, and in verse number 28. John 10, verse 28. It says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, if you read that passage, it sounds like that could really bolster the the conclusion that one can never fall from grace. But what people fail to do is read the passage that's above it. What does the passage above verse 28 say? Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, understand what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my voice. They have a relationship with the shepherd. They hear his voice. What do they do when they hear his voice? Well, they know him, and he knows them. And then it says, they follow me. That means that they are following and the instruction given by the shepherd. And when he knows them, when he is one of his sheep and they follow him, then they will be given eternal life. They will never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of his hand. But notice, what happens if you don't know him? Wonder if you know him and you don't follow him. And wonder if you don't take the instruction and be obedient to it. Then the wolf's going to get you. Then you're going to fall away and you're going to be vulnerable. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the passages that we read this morning in Galatians 5, it says one can fall from grace. Those very words are used in the scripture. In 2 Peter 2, it says that you can get entangled in what you left. You can become entangled in the world again. And it says in verse 21 that the latter end is worse for you than the beginning. It would have been better for you not to have known than to have known and depart. And then in Hebrews 3:12, he warns them about not departing from the way. But why the warning? Why the warning of departing? Why the warning of escaping the pollution of the world and get entangled and go back in? Why would the latter end be worse than the beginning? Because one can fall from grace. Now, the way to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, is to understand what sin does. According to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin separates a man from God. What if he commits sin after he enters a relationship with God? Somehow does that sin not affect his relationship with God? Yes, it affects his relationship with God. The Bible says that he has no fellowship with sin. Read the book of 1 John. If we walk in darkness and we don't walk in the light, we can't have fellowship with him. We have to walk in the light if he's in the light. We have to continue to maintain this relationship by obedient faith, by doing the things that God has asked us to do. We're not earning it. We're not meriting. We talked about that last week. We're just demonstrating our faith in him and our love for him by obeying what he's asked us to do. But what if you go back? Now, there was a debate a number of years ago with a member of the church and another denomination, and the question was asked by the gospel preacher who was debating this denominational preacher, and here's the question he asked. He said, can a man who is a Christian commit adultery, get drunk after he commits adultery, and after he gets drunk, commits murder, and after he commits murder, he dies, would he still go to heaven? Now again, this question was asked to the person who was advocating that once saved is always saved, and advocating that man could never fall from grace. But for a couple of nights, he wouldn't answer the question. Finally, his brethren got on him and said, hey, answer that question. You know the answer to that. And so the next night, he got up and he said that my opponent has been making a lot about this hypothetical situation about the Christian who commits adultery and murder and get drunk, and then he dies, would he go to heaven? Well, I believe that God would never let one of his children get in such a condition and die. Well, the gospel preacher got up and said, well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here for the very first time, how you can live forever. Get drunk, stay drunk, and commit adultery, because God won't let you die in that condition. Now, you know what? Everybody on the other side of that saw the absurdity of that. they understood that was absurd. But that's not the man, that's his position. It's his position that is unattainable. I'll give you one other biblical example why this is completely false. What about Israel? What about the nation of Israel? Were they God's chosen people? Yes. Did they have a special relationship with God? Yes. Were they his chosen people and chosen nation? Yes. Did he love them? Yes. What happened to them? What happened to the nation of Israel? First of all, it divided after the death of Solomon, and then Israel went into apostasy and committed spiritual adultery, and 205 years later, she was destroyed and put in Assyrian captivity. 135 years later, her sister nation, Judah, followed the same course, went into spiritual adultery, committed apostasy, forsook the covenant, forsook the laws, went after idol gods and false gods, and God destroyed her by placing her in Babylonian captivity. Now, these were both children of God. They were of the nation that God chose to bring his son through. And that nation had become unfaithful by their own choice. And because of that, God destroyed them. Why? Because they fell from grace. They fell from the protection and the blessings that he promised them. And by the way, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29, Moses, before he died, really made this very effective argument and told them that God was going to give them the land and they were going to get all these blessings and they were going to inherit the land. But if they went into apostasy, if they forsook his law, if they became disobedient, if they went after other gods, God would take them off the land that he gave them, give it back to their enemies, and he would destroy them. And that's exactly what he did. Why? Did he love them less? No. Did he do it because he wasn't strong enough to keep them? No. They lost their reward and they lost their relationship with God because of sin, because they went back to the pathways of sin. And when one becomes a Christian and one obeys the gospel and one accepts the provision of salvation offered by God through the blood of his son, and you accept that and you become one of his children, the one thing that you do not lose is free will. You still have free will. You still are a free moral agent. And you can go back to the sins that you gave up when you became a Christian. You could go back to the bottle. You could go back to immorality. You could go back to living an ungodly life. You could go back to being an atheist. Yet our religious friends would tell us that even if you did that, you wouldn't lose your salvation. Such teaching is absolutely unequivocal false. It is completely false because you will lose your soul because you went back to that which separates a man from God in that sin. Read Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And if you think you can never fall from grace, how are you going to explain Israel, my friend? How are you going to explain the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity that ended with the destruction of God's people? Can a man fall from grace? Yes, he can, if his soul chooses to do it.